is in the air. Spring is everywhere.
A little bird, he told me so. He said, come on, get on the go. Open your eyes, the sky is full of butterflies.
It is the first day of spring.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. Don't make this too much more than what it is.
What is it?
It's just a Monday. That's all it is. But it's also the spring equinox. Or as I used to remember called it, I think it was the vernal equinox. That's the term that I remember.
Well, let's find out why.
Well, we've got a NASA scientist, Dr. Nicolene Vial-Kepko, here to join us to talk about that and other things. Good morning, Dr. Vial. Appreciate your time.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So am I correct? A vernal equinox, right? That's what sort of the technical, one of the names, right?
Correct. Okay. Today is the vernal equinox. We also call that the spring equinox. That's and right. In Latin, equinox means equal night, and that's exactly what today is. The day is the same length as the night, and that only happens twice a year on the two equinoxes. The other one is the autumnal equinox or the fall equinox. And the rest of the year, either the day or the night is longer.
So is that everywhere? If we were to go to Alaska, would it be the same?
Correct, yes. All across the globe, today is the equal, it's the equinox, so it's equal day and night. And that has to do, this is a rare, you know, it only happens twice a year, and that has to do with the orbital, the inclination of the rotation axis relative to the orbital plane. So the Earth rotates on its axis, and that is what makes day and night, and then it orbits around the sun. And because those two axes are tilted relative to one another, most of the year the northern hemisphere is either pointed towards the sun or away from the sun. But on the equinoxes, the sun equally illuminates both hemispheres.
When did they first discover all this? Any idea? I mean, was it one of those things where someone, you know, when they plot the course of the rotation and everything, they kind of came up with this at that point and then discovered how that affects our seasons and things like that?
I think people have been aware of the equinoxes and that days and nights go through these cycles for thousands and thousands of years. But certainly once we entered the space age and were able to launch satellites, then we were able to look from the other perspective. We were able to look back down on the Earth as all of these different celestial events are taking place.
Bruce had mentioned vernal. Can you give us an idea of where that comes from? What does that mean?
My guess is that it means spring, but I don't know the history, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. You'd need a linguist, I think.
Right. Well, that's probably some Latin word that's in there as well.
That's my guess, because equinox is Latin.
Right, and because Craig, because that's also like a greenish, used in some green colors as well. Of course, the other big thing that's happening, and it's funny because we have a local astronomical society here in Lorain County, and they told us last year, well, we want to come on and talk to you again in August of 2017. So I have written on one of our interview boards, August 2017, to book these folks, and that's because of the big solar eclipse. Is that right? The total
solar eclipse.
Tell us about this and how we should get excited and plan for this in the coming months.
Yeah, the total solar eclipse is going to be super exciting. It's August 21st of this year, this summer. And this is going to be a total solar eclipse that we can see from coast to coast of the United States. It enters in, the path of totality enters in Oregon, and then it grows across the entire United States and exits out of South Carolina. And though total solar eclipses happen about every 18 months or so, for it to cross the entire United States like this, from coast to coast, that only happens pretty rarely. The last one happened in 1918. So this path of totality where it goes from coast to coast is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to really go see the total solar eclipse from the United States.
Do I need to start getting like a shoebox and a pinhole? Is that where it turns into this? Or is there things now we can do with apps or other computerized things to kind of get a good look at this?
Yeah, so you definitely can do a pinhole camera. You can also get, there are special glasses that are safe to watch the eclipse with. And you can get all of the information about this at eclipse2017.nasa.gov. It'll tell you how to safely watch the eclipse. It'll tell you how to set up a pinhole camera if that's how you'd like to observe the eclipse. And it will tell you also the exact path of totality because there are parts of the United States that will see the eclipse, but it'll just be a partial eclipse. And then there's a path through the middle that'll see the total. It'll be in the path of totality, where, and that means that the moon completely blocks out the main disk of the sun.
So it will get very dark that day.
Yeah, if you're in the path of totality, it's going to get dark for about 90 seconds to about 2 minutes is about how long the darkest phase lasts.
And if it happens to be cloudy or rain?
Still, if you're in the path of totality, I've heard that it still gets noticeably darker when you're in the path of totality. Even if it's cloudy, of course, you won't be able to see the sun itself, but you'll notice the atmosphere gets colder. It gets chilly during those 90 seconds to 2 minutes when the moon blocks out the sun.
Do you think there's going to be people running and screaming into the streets?
I hope not.
If I'm in the path of totality, I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to react. But I suppose with social media, someone's, why is it so dark? And there's always somebody who's the last to know, you know,
yeah.
even on something like this. We're speaking today with NASA scientist, Dr. Nikki Vial-Kepko. What do you do on your daily basis when you're not talking to folks on the radio about the vernal equinox or the eclipse coming up?
Yeah, so I actually study the solar corona. So the solar corona is the solar atmosphere. This is actually the part of the sun that we can see during a total solar eclipse because the moon blocks out the main body of the sun, which is so much brighter than the solar atmosphere around the sun, that during a solar eclipse, even on the Earth, we'll be able to see the solar corona. So that's what I study, and I use NASA data to study the solar corona. Because with our space flights, we can create artificial eclipses so that we can watch the corona continuously. And it's what's really cool about the corona is it's super hot, like a million degrees, and that's not hyperbole. And that's interesting because the solar surface is only about 6,000 degrees. So it would be like if you were walking away from a fire and it got hotter. That's a strange thing. So we want to know why that's happening. The solar corona is so hot, we think, because of all the intense magnetic energy that's being constantly stirred up on the sun, but we don't quite know all the details of how it's released and what the mechanisms are. So we really want to understand that. So that's what I study.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate your time and sharing a little bit of the spring celebration for today, the first day of spring. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Nikki Vial-Kepko joining us this morning. She was with NASA scientists. They're talking all about. By the way, Craig, vernal comes from the Latin vernalis, from Vernus, of spring.